Hey, it's Monday, January 31st, 2005. This is your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by a Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. All right, we're going to jump right into it today. Finally, the news we've all been waiting for. Yep, Apple announced today the PowerBook speed bumps we've been talking about. We've been talking about these back and forth for a little while, and the big question was G4 or G5? Well, turns out we're still with the G4s, so I guess Apple's comments that the G5 poses some challenges are still out there. There's still all those rumors about orders being taken over in Asia and Taiwan and things like that for G5 PowerBooks. So I guess we'll just be waiting for those still. Maybe we'll see them by the end of the year. But for now, Apple has given us new G4s. So I'm going to want to run down the specs for everybody, and that way we can all get a handle on what the new G4 PowerBooks are all about. So the first thing is new processor speeds. The 12-inch models, the two 12-inch models, and the 15-inch combo drive model are being bumped to 1.5 gigahertz G4 processors. The 15-inch SuperDrive and the 17-inch model is being bumped to 1.67 gigahertz G4. All machines are getting new graphics chips. Well, I know the 15 and the 17, it's a new chip. I can't remember on the 12-inch, so I apologize for that, but I'll tell you which chips are in which models. The 12-inch models have the NVIDIA GeForce FX Go 5200, with 64 megabytes of DDR SD RAM. The 15-inch models have the ATI Mobility Radeon 9700 card with 64 megabytes of DDR SD RAM. The 17-inch model has a ATI Mobility Radeon 9700 card with 128 megabytes of SDDR RAM. And the big news on the 17-inch model is this new Radeon chip has the Dual Link DVI, which is the one that will support Apple's 30-inch cinema display. So you can run that huge cinema display on your 17-inch PowerBook. The hard drives on all three models are as follows. The 12-inch with the combo drive has a 60GB Ultra ATA hard drive running at 5400 RPMs. The 12-inch SuperDrive model and the 15-inch models will have an 80GB Ultra ATA 100 drive running at 5400 RPMs. And the 17-inch model will have a 100GB Ultra ATA 100 running at 5400 RPMs. The SuperDrive models now support an 8X SuperDrive, which will mean 8X DVD plus and dash RW burning, as well as CDRW burning. Another huge bit of news, and I don't know, Apple needs to do this on all of their models, but at least now with the PowerBooks, all models are coming standard with 512 megabytes of RAM. And what's really cool is on the 15-inch and 17-inch models, the RAM's only going to occupy one slot, where if you did the build-to-order option from Apple before and upgraded your 15 or 17-inch model to 512, they filled one slot each with 256 meg RAM chips. So it's great. You'll get your 512, which is perfect for running just about everything under the Mac OS, but you'll have a full open slot ready for upgrading. Another bit of big news is AirPort Extreme is now standard, and Bluetooth version 2.0. So the very latest Bluetooth is coming built in on all models. And that's huge. Apple's claiming that they're the first company to do this as a standard feature. So next thing is the 15-inch model and the 17-inch model are now both going to have the backlit keyboard. And Apple's claiming the backlighting is 10 times brighter than before, and will have minimal impact in terms of battery life over previous models. Another bit of big news is two new technologies in the PowerBooks. One is trackpad scrolling, which means you'll now be able to scroll using the trackpad, sort of like if you have a mouse, a wheel button on your mouse. The way it works is you'll use two fingers, and the trackpad will be able to sense when you have two fingers on the trackpad. And using two fingers, you can do scrolling motions. So up and down and left and right. And then the other big thing, which is going to help out in terms of warranty and durability of your PowerBook, is they've added the sudden motion sensor. And I think we talked about this as a patent that Apple had filed, and the rumor was that it was going to be in iPods, but it looks like they've put it into the PowerBook models. And basically, what the technology does is it detects changes in acceleration and position of the laptop and detects or tries to detect or predict when the iBook is being dropped or going through a large fall. And it will, in an instant, shut down the hard drive, park the heads, and so the hard drive won't physically crash into the drive heads and your data will remain safe. So it increases the chances that possibly that your iBook will survive a drop, but at the very least that the data on your drive will survive. So that's really good news in terms of the durability of the PowerBooks. And on top of all this, so all these new features, on top of everything, Apple has dropped the price on all these models between $100 and $200. So that's great news if you're in the market for a PowerBook. It's probably a good time to buy unless you really want to hold out for those G5s, and we don't know when we're going to see those. So Apple's given us a lot to chew on for a little while. I think they're probably hoping it'll appease the power users until the new G5s can come out, whenever that may be. So last show we talked about retailers coming on board with Apple, major retailers coming on board, and we talked a little bit about Walmart, and the possibility that they may be selling the iPod Shuffle. Today it was confirmed that Walmart is now selling iPod Minis. They're not making any comments on whether they're going to carry the iPod Shuffle or not, but supposedly select stores, and they're not saying which stores, but select Walmart stores are now carrying iPod Minis. So you can find those at your local Walmart if you're in one of the lucky areas. In sort of some branding news for Apple, brandchannel.com, which is an online magazine dedicated to branding and marketing, is reporting that Apple has beat Google for 2004 for the company that had the most impact in terms of brand for 2004. And this is a Reader's Choice Award. And Apple has wrestled it away from Google, who apparently has won it the past 2 years. So that's great for Apple. The Apple brand is going really, really strong. I think that's exhibited by what we're seeing in the retail market with Apple's stock price and just their overall presence. Apple is definitely becoming more of a household name if they weren't already. Also, last time we talked a little bit about pocket PCs. Specifically, we were talking about VNC or virtual network computing. But I saw another real interesting article online about a new product called Wi-Fi Tunes, a new piece of software called Wi-Fi Tunes. It's currently in alpha. It's from a company called Aspecto Software. And there's a link from the show notes on maccast.com. So if you want to get more details about the software, but what it does is it's software you can install on your pocket PC, and it enables you to browse your iTunes library and also stream your MP3s to your Pocket PC. It's currently only supports MP3 files, so no AAC support. And of course, it's alpha, so if you do download it and try it out, it's probably guaranteed to be a bit buggy. But just really cool that you can use your Pocket PC with iTunes. And it's just interesting to see that we're getting a lot of different applications in the Windows arena and Pocket PC arena to be working with Apple technologies. Hopefully we continue to see more of it because I think it's helping on the whole switcher front. There's also a report coming from the San Francisco Chronicle that Apple's software division, so that would be the division that makes the operating system, probably also the iLife suite, and now the new iWork, software sales for Apple were up 40% from last year. So it's obvious Apple's doing very well, and I congratulate them on that. I'm certainly happy to see it, and anybody who's used these software products coming from Apple, iLife, iDVD, iMovie, you just know, like I do, that they're absolutely the best and easiest programs to use for what they do. And Windows market has nothing to match it. Microsoft is trying, but they just don't get there. And now that we have Apple computers priced at the low range, I think once people can see the software and the quality of software that Apple puts out and runs on their systems, at least from a home user perspective and how easy it is to do over the PC counterparts, I really think we're going to see a lot of switching this year. And I think we're actually, for the first time, going to see Apple gain some significant market share. If you agree with me or if you disagree with me, send your comments, maccast@gmail.com, and let me know what you're thinking. These are just my opinions and sort of what I think is going to happen in the market over the year. If you agree, disagree, I'm happy to hear differing opinions or expanding opinions, whatever it may be. So I'm always accessible. You can call the hotline also, 206-222-2788, and leave a voice message. Speaking of that, I've received a couple voicemails this week, and I'm glad to see people are using the hotline. Joe wanted to make some comments on virtual network computing, the VNC client that we talked about on the last show, and I'll let you, or I'll let Joe fill you in on what he wanted to say.
Hi, Adam. It's Joe. Just wanted to make a side note. By the way, great show. Always listen to it. On the VNC client server software. I actually got my version off of AT&T, who I think originated it. I could be wrong about that. I started using it quite a few years ago, having to administer NT servers and Unix machines at work from home, being a diehard Mac user since 86. I needed a way to get in there without buying a PC. So it is a great piece of software. It does many things along the lines of Timbuktu, but more. Being a Mac user, it also gives you the option of rebooting the server right from your Macintosh remotely. It actually has a hotkey or a menu pull down for it. Keep up the good work. Bye.
So as you can see there, people are actually using a virtual network computing client to remotely control their Macintoshes. It competes at a very high level with a pay-for product called Timbuktu from Netopia. If you've ever used the Timbuktu product, you know what that's all about. And so check it out, like we were discussing on the last show. I also received an audio comment from Green about the Pear PC project, which this is a project over on sourceforge.net. There's a link from the show notes, as always. Pear PC is a project in the PC world to develop a emulator, sort of like Apple has done with, or I'm sorry, sort of like Microsoft has done with Virtual PC, to allow the Mac OS to run on top of the PC platform. And we have a listener, Green, who has some experience with this, and I'll let him tell you about it, and then I'll make some comments on the tail end of this comment.
Adam, good morning. My name is Green Lumpkin. A couple of weeks ago, I sent you an email talking about possibly you talking about the Pear PC emulator that you can install on a PC and install Mac OS X. I've actually done that. My friend and I have done that successfully. It's working pretty good. We're working on the networking piece to get it to the capabilities of using the internet and, you know, other devices on the machine. So I just wanted to leave this message, and if at any time we could talk about it, maybe have an interview live, that would be good. I was listening to your cast, and just wanted to also say you're doing a wonderful job, and I'm very very happy to be able to listen to things that I normally don't get a chance to listen to because I work in the IT industry. Again, my name is Green Lumpkin, 32 years old, and wanted to, if we can talk about the Pear PC bit a little bit more on your Maccast. So have a good week, and God bless.
So Pear PC, I've heard about it for a while now, and there's actually a commercial product that's trying to come out called Cherry OS that's doing the same thing. And but Pear PC was first, it's open source, it's free, so it's worth checking out if you're the type of person that wants to tinker. Maybe you have an extra PC lying around. I'm not sure what the system specs are. You can get those over on the website, and there's a link from the show notes. But absolutely, I'm going to try and get a hold of Green and we'll try and do some sort of interview, or at least I'll get some feedback from him on how difficult it is to set up and install Pear PC, and try and give you guys a good review of what it takes to get Pear PC up and running and to get Mac OS 10 installed on your PC system. At the very least, it's just a very cool exercise in technology and emulators. You know, with virtual PC, we can emulate a PC on our Macs, so why shouldn't we be able to emulate a Macintosh and OS 10 system on our PC? I will keep you posted, and as soon as I have heard back from Green, we will try and get some more information out to you. But in the meantime, check out the Pear PC website for more details. So I also got a comment via email, or more of a question via email, concerning podcasting, or more or less how I do this podcast, and it was from a listener, Andrew, and I thought it was a good question. I thought I'd share it with you just in case you may be wondering the same thing. He was wondering why all my podcast feeds are distributed in MP3, or even more so, all podcast feeds seem to be distributed in MP3 and format and not AAC, which is supported by iTunes. And my reasoning for it is, and many of my listeners will know this, is that many of my listeners are not, for one, Macintosh people. We have a lot of PC people listening to the cast who may be considering switching, or maybe just have an iPod and run Windows and iTunes on Windows and prefer that platform and just want to stay up with the Mac news. And then the other thing is that many people don't have iPods as their MP3 player, and currently an iPod is the only device, I believe. There may be another odd device or lesser known device, but I'm pretty sure Apple's is the only device that supports MP3 player that supports AAC format. So we wouldn't be able to get AAC files on a Pocket PC or an iRiver or Creative Nomad or some of these other devices that people are using. So MP3 just is the most universal and most convenient format. But what I did want to mention is, if you are on a Mac and you are using iTunes, you may want to grab the latest version of iPodder X, and that's available over at www.ipodderx.com, because they just added a new feature in, I believe it's 2.2.7 is the latest version. They added a feature where you can actually, as your feed is downloaded or after the MP3 file is downloaded, iPodder X will automatically, if you wish, convert it to AAC format, and in addition, it can do what's called a bookmarkable version of AAC format. And if you're familiar with Audible files or audiobook files, what this means is, if you have it create a bookmarkable AAC file, when you actually stop your podcast in the middle, if it's in this format, and turn off your player, or not even when you turn off your player, if you stop it, you go and play other MP3 files, whatever, come back a couple days later, and you click on that same AAC file, the AAC version of the podcast, it'll pick up right where you left off. The iPod will currently do that if you power off the iPod and bring it back up just with an MP3 file, but with bookmarkable AAC, you can actually listen to other files and come back to your podcast file, and it'll pick right up where you left off. So that's a little bit of a difference, and maybe a reason why you want to check out the new version of iPodder X. And speaking of the podcast and the podcast feed, I also want to let everybody know that I have added a new location where you can pick up the podcast feed for this podcast. And what I would like as many people as are willing to do this is, if you could update the feed link in your iPodder client, whether you use iPodder or iPodder X or NetNewsWire or however you are receiving this podcast feed, if you wouldn't mind updating your link to the XML file, to the XML feed, to this new feed, which is through FeedBurner, I would really appreciate it, because what it's going to enable me to do is track how many people are actually subscribed and listening to the podcast. That's some data I haven't been able to get before. And as I'm trying to expand the MacCast into a broader market, and more so try and entice software developers and hardware developers to provide evaluation copies of their hardware and software for me to do previews and reviews for you guys, a lot of them want to know what my reach is, how many listeners are listening to the MacCast, and right now I don't have those numbers to share with them. So if you are willing to do this, it's, as I said, through FeedBurner, which is, the website is www.feedburner.com, but the new feed URL is feeds, F-E-E-D-S, dot feedburner, F-E-E-D-B-U-R-N-E-R, .com/MacCast, M-A-C-C-A-S-T. So if you could update your iPodder clients to use that feed instead of the old feed, I'd really appreciate it. That way I know how many people are listening to the MacCast. And you don't need to remember that URL. It is in the show notes. So if you go to MacCast.com for the MacCast for January 31st, 2005, click on the show notes. You'll find the link right in there. And I've also updated the link on all of the podcasting directories, or I'm working on it. So over the next couple of days, the feed URL will change. And hopefully moving forward, everybody will pick up on the new FeedBurner feed. And that will help me out a lot. So it's another great way you guys can help support the show. I do want to say, just so no one has to worry, the old feed URL will continue to work. It's not changing, so if you don't update your iPodder, you're not going to be affected. You'll continue to get the MacCast, so don't worry about that. It's just if you are willing to do it, it will help me out, so don't worry. And then anybody new moving forward who's picking up the MacCast is going to get the new feed URL. So if you can, go for it. If not, don't worry about it, and everything will continue just as is. All right, we're going to go ahead and close out the show. I want to say thank you to everybody. As always, visit MacCast.com for the full show notes and details. Keep your audio comments and emails coming, MacCast@gmail.com. Continue to keep calling the hotline, 206-222-2788, which is 20-MACCAST-8. I'm going to leave you in closing with another track from Jim Bryson. He's an artist we played before. You can visit him on his website, www.jimbryson.org. This song's called Living in Toronto, and I like it a lot. I really enjoyed it. If you do enjoy the music you hear on the MacCast, please support these artists. These are independent artists, and they're providing this music to us free of any charges or licensing, so we want to try and support them back. Go visit their websites, buy their CDs, send them email or comments, let them know you heard their music on the MacCast. And if you are an artist and you want to get your music played on the MacCast and your website plugged, please send me your MP3 files, MacCast@gmail.com. All right, I will see you guys all next time. Here's Living in Toronto by Jim Bryson. Enjoy.
Tell all of your friends I won't miss you. When all of my friends think that I don't even love you.